Beyond Moments. We start this week 24 years ago, and Radio 2 left its medium wave frequencies.
Hello there. This is Jimmy Young on Radio 2 Medium Wave. And if you're wondering where all your regular Radio 2 programs have got to, well, they're all now over on the FM wave band, where, of course, it's business as usual. Now, from August the 27th, this medium wave frequency is where you'll find your new station for sport and education. That's Radio 5. However, if you want to hear your Radio 2 favourites, then join us now by switching to the FM wave band. And if you're still puzzled by the move to FM only, send us a stamped addressed envelope and we'll send you a leaflet explaining the changes. Now, the address to which to write is BBC Radio...
Thank you, Jimmy. It was also complicated back then, wasn't it? You wanted to know something from a radio station and you'd write to them and they'd write back to you. This week in August is a landmark one for you if you follow the story of UK pirate radio. It was on the 15th of August 1967 that the Marine Offences Act came into force, closing those loopholes which had allowed UK citizens to play any role in offshore pirate radio. In advance, many said farewell this week, 47 years ago, for the last time.
Well, from all of us at Radio Scotland, it's not goodbye, merely au revoir. And from me, my sincere thanks to all of you very wonderful people out there, the people of Scotland, for your wonderful loyalty and support.
Radio 27R is now closing down.
Some mention has been made of the fact that mine was the first voice to be heard on Radio London. It will also be the last in regrettably few minutes from now. But before that, please allow me to introduce the Managing Director of Radio London, Mr. Philip Birch.
As one listener put it, the world will get by without Big L. But I'm not sure that it will be a better place.
Farewell Pirate Radio this week in 1967, but Johnny Walker carried on.
Radio Caroline would like to extend its thanks to Mr. Harold Wilson and his Labour government for at last, after over 3.5 years of broadcasting, recognising this station's legality. It's right to be here. It's right to be broadcasting to Great Britain and the continent. It's right to give the music and service to the peoples of Europe, which we have been doing since Easter Sunday, 1964. And we, in turn, recognise your right as our listener.
As the BBC prepared to address the challenge of mounting its own pop service and rename its existing channels, a letter to The Times this week from August 1967, and it was decrying the fact that the home service was to be demoted to the name of Radio 4. They called it a deplorable surrender of cultural values. Cultural values surrendered by Radio 4? Not a chance.
Well, first up after the news, I'm going to be talking to Jeremy Hunt, the Culture Secretary, about broadband. It's 8 o'clock on Monday, the 6th of December. American officials have condemned WikiLeaks after the website published a list of hundreds of facilities said to be vital for American security. Every community in Britain has been promised that they'll have access to the fastest broadband networks within 5 years.
Oh dear, James Naughtie there from Radio 4, as we wish him a very happy 63rd birthday this week. Commercial radio was still some way off by the back end of the 60s, and this week in 1969, 1,000 people, mostly teenagers, were marching to Conservative Central Office, asking for the Tories to introduce commercial radio if they were elected. Be careful with microphones, they could be live. That's some of the first advice you learn in radio. And it's 30 years this week since President Ronald Reagan wished he'd been a bit more cautious when he chose the words for a mic test.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Poor old Ronnie Reagan this week in 1984. From time to time, some commercial radio talent does end up on BBC National Radio. And this week in 83, a Radio Tees presenter arrived at Radio 1. And it was such an occasion, it warranted an interview on Newsbeat.
How would you describe your style as a DJ? Unusual. You'll find it very unusual, I would think. It's a mixture of, well, all sorts of unusual things. You'll find it, I don't think you'll ever anything quite like it before. At least I hope.
So there's no one here that you'd say that you sort of model yourself on?
No, not really. I would say, well, in the way that Steve Wright has lots of fun, I'll be having lots of fun.
Welcome to Me, Mark Page, on Radio 1 this week, 31 years ago. It's 90 years this week since radio came to Hull. The station was 6KH, and Audrey Nicholson here reflects on the achievements of Tom Whitty, the chap in charge.
He made really, I think, quite an impression. He got a lot of talented amateurs, let's call them that, round him. And he played the piano brilliantly. Of course, that was a tremendous help. That really was the beginning. Mm. And then he wrote little scripts. We had nursery rhymes and all that sort of thing. And then at about quarter to five, he thought he'd get a bit serious. That's the word I want. Thank you so much. And he put on talks for his scouts.
The arrival of radio in Hull this week, 90 years ago, largely a relay of 2ZY with some local programming added in, probably at drive times. This week in 1988, some experimental splitting of AM and FM for commercial radio stations. BRMB was doing trials. Robin Volk had some BRMB gold on AM with News Across on FM. And Clyde trialled weekend splitting too with Clyde FM and Radio Clyde.
It's 4 o'clock. This is Radio Clyde, and we're going to split and go our separate ways. That means on 102.5 FM and stereo, it's Mike Holloway.
Cheers, Gabe. Over Strathclyde, this is Clyde FM.
Memories of the early days of splitting AM and FM this week in 1988, illustrated there by Clyde FM. It's 3 years this week since we lost Robert Robinson.
Which is the only British bird of the genus Troglo? Oh, I really do have to run at these awful words.
Robert Robinson, who died this week in 2011. He'd hosted Start the Week and Brain of Britain, and hearing his cheery voice on Radio 4 out of a hacker radio on a warm summer home counties evening was just what a British summertime was made of. From that to something completely different.
Hey, it's 3.5 minutes after 7 o'clock. How, everybody all right? You're washing up and you're keeping clean and everything. I worry about you when I'm not here. You know, 69 degrees, kind of cloudy skies, everybody. Let me take a look and see what's happening.
The sound of Cousin Brucey, a huge American broadcaster who hosted his last show on WNBC AM, New York City, this week in 1977. Brucey loved playing his jingles mid-link and often mid-sentence, as did Radio 1's Tony Blackburn. 275-285. So it wasn't a surprise that Tony was called upon for comment this week 2 years ago. And Radio 1 said it would scrap jingles.
I think the singing jingles are just fantastic. They just give that station that fresh sound. You get a message across. It's called branding.
Tony Blackburn has Radio 1 announced the end of jingles as such this week 2 years ago.
Tony Blackburn!
So with the announcement last year that Sony wouldn't sponsor the Radio Academy Awards anymore, this edition of Test Match Special this week 23 years ago...
It just didn't quite get his leg over.
And the last Clitheroe Kid on Radio 2 42 years ago... Those are this week's radio moments.
He hit a 4 over the wicket's head, and he was out for the
Radio Moments.